As we begin, let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you, Father, for the Bible, for the eternal truth that you've given to us. Help us, Father, to always be faithful to you, to be diligent students of your word, and live and work as Christians should. And more importantly, introduce others to the true Jesus that's found in the New Testament. Thank you for our visitors that are in-house. Thank you for everyone that are joining us online. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Balancing grace, faith, and works. We can say a lot about this. We could spend weeks and weeks and weeks talking about grace, faith, and works. But I want to show some balance between these three this morning. Then I would encourage you to do further study. I'll be putting some scripture verses on the board, on the screen, just the scripture. You can jot them down. You can email me and I'll send you the PowerPoint. You can investigate it further. Let's begin with some questions. Are we saved by grace? The answer is, indeed we are. One would have to deny the plain and simple biblical teaching, I think, to say otherwise. Are we saved by faith? Indeed we are. One would have to deny the plain biblical teaching to say otherwise. Are we saved by works? Indeed we are. One would have to deny the plain biblical teaching to say otherwise. Three more questions. Are we saved by grace alone? The answer is no. One would have to contradict the very clear and plain teaching of the New Testament to believe and affirm that we are saved by grace alone. Are we saved by faith alone? The answer is no. One would have to, again, contradict the clear teaching of the New Testament to believe that and to affirm that we are saved by faith alone. Third question, are we saved by works alone? The answer is no. One would, again, have to contradict the clear teaching of the New Testament to believe and to affirm that we are saved by grace alone. So therefore, to conclude that we are saved by grace alone is to draw a conclusion that is extreme and unbiblical. To conclude that we are saved by grace alone is to draw a conclusion that is extreme and unbiblical. To conclude that we are saved by works alone, again, is to draw a conclusion that it is extreme and unbiblical. However, to conclude that grace, faith, and works saves us is to draw a conclusion that is biblically balanced. The Bible teaches very plainly, unmistakably, that all three are involved in God's scheme of redemption. Excuse me. The Bible teaches that we are saved by grace. How marvelous is the grace of our Lord. He has taught us in numerous scriptures, numerous passages, that our salvation is made possible by His loving kindness. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 10, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sin, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace we are saved. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly place in Christ Jesus. That is the age to come, that in the age to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God, of course, has before ordained that we should walk in them. Notice this verse in Titus 3, 3 through 7. Here the Apostle Paul also exclaimed the amazing and showed the amazing grace of God when he wrote to Titus, speaking about the process by which the Lord has made it possible for us to be forgiven of our sins. He penned these words. He penned this truth. Verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hatred, and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. By the washing of regeneration, and by the renewing of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Spirit, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The Jews and Gentiles who comprised the Church of Christ in Rome were taught that our justification in Christ Jesus is by grace. Now, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, in Romans chapter 3, in just a moment, verse 24, it is a fact that except for the grace of God, all of us would be helpless and hopelessly lost in our sins. The Bible teaches that we are saved by faith throughout the biblical record of God's dealing with man. Faith has always been essential to bring acceptance unto God. The notable faith chapter of the Bible not only illustrates that with the citations of those who demonstrated their faith by their religious works, it also explicitly declares the essentiality of faith. Notice what Hebrews 11:6 says. We know this verse. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So after writing about faith of Abraham, and how Abraham was justified through his faith, Paul wrote the obvious conclusion in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So when we take a careful study and we analyze the scriptures, I believe it will show a very harmonious working of faith and grace in our salvation. It teaches that we access the grace of God, how? By faith in the Lord Jesus. Ephesians 2:8 states that. The well-known text that we just cited earlier teaches us that we are saved by grace, but it also very plainly stipulates that we are saved by grace through faith. Through faith. The fact that we are saved by grace could not be made any clearer than Jesus made it when he gave the Great Commission, as recorded in the gospel according to Mark. And when we look in Mark 16, these well-known verses, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes or believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Standing directly between the sinner and salvation is the necessity of believing the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that we are saved also by works. There are people who contend that works do not save us, that man cannot contribute one whit to his salvation. Well, there is, in a sense, I believe that is true. For no one can do anything that would result in man earning his salvation. We know that. Every sin that we commit places a person under the condemnation of God. The very best that anyone can live will still leave him short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23, and indeed of the mercy of God. However, brothers and sisters, the Bible teaches that obedience is necessary for salvation. Now, we'll put all of this together in just a moment. It's necessary for salvation. Obedience has got to be there, and that we are saved by works. Notice what James chapter 2 says, well-known verse. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith alone. Likewise, also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Heard it said a long time ago, faith plus works equals a more perfect faith. James 2, 24 through 26. Now, when we look at the captain, if you please, of our salvation, the writer of the epistle of Hebrews taught that obedience is a prerequisite to salvation. Look in Hebrews chapter 5. Verses 8 and 9. Though he were a son, yet learned the obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Let it be made very clearly and clearly understood that the works by which one is saved is not works of merit. That's very important. Not works of merit. As we stated earlier, one can never earn his salvation. So the works that are essential to forgiveness are not the works of merit, but what? The works of righteousness. The works of righteousness. Any work that one does in response to a promise or a command of God is not a work of merit. Because the merit belongs to the Lord, who gave the command and who made the promise. Period. When one is obedient to the Lord's commandments, he trusts the Lord to keep his word and provide the promise and the blessings. For example, when one repents of his sins and is baptized into the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, his repentance and his baptism are not works of merit. His actions are the result of his faith. His actions are a result of his... He has read, he has understood, he has been taught. Now he's going to act upon what he has read, taught, and what he believes. So his actions are the result of his faith in the Lord, trusting that the Lord will provide the remission of sins. The promised blessing. So any merit And his action belongs to the Lord, who made the forgiveness of sins possible by the gift of his grace. So from all of that, we conclude that we are saved by grace and faith, but not unconditionally. I'll give you a Bible example here. I think this is a real good biblical example about the great role of faith, of grace, faith, and works in salvation. It's found in the Old Testament. It's a story of the Israelites capturing Jericho, contained in Joshua chapter 6. Let's notice some key points here about this story. Number one, Israel, the Israelites, could not take Jericho by their own strength. The city of Jericho was 5 miles west of the Jordan River, 7 miles north of the Dead Sea. It was a key point, of course, in the conquest of Canaan. But it was shut up tightly, the Bible says. Verse 1 declares that Israel could not take the city by her own strength. Jericho, they marched around. It took them about, as estimated, about an hour and 15 to 20 minutes to march around the city of Jericho. The city of Jericho is a city of palms, 800 feet below sea level. Jerusalem's over almost 3,000 feet above sea level. Dead Sea, just down the road, 1,350 feet below sea level, the lowest place on earth. And when they heard that the Apparu, the Hebrews, the Israelites were coming, they came out of the caves and the city swelled. And they shut the gate and they shut the door there at Jericho. Read that story. But the Israelites could not upon themselves take the city by their own strength. Number two, Jericho was captured by grace. The Lord gave Jericho to Israel. Verse 2. This was an act of grace. Israel had nothing to do at all. Israel had done nothing at all to put God in their debt. God gave them the city through means that would glorify Him. Thirdly, Jericho was captured by faith. The city was given to the Israelites, but not by grace alone. They had to what? They had to believe. They had to believe that God was on their side. They had to believe that God was going to give it to them. God told them what to do, to march around, to blow the trumpets. You know the story. That's what they believed. They had to trust in God. But their trust was not in the marching. Their trust was not in blowing the ram's horns, the trumpets, nor the shouting that they did. Their trust had to be in what? In the Lord. Simply, as simple as that. Their trust had to be in the Lord and His Word. The writer of Hebrews makes it abundantly clear that that the city was captured by faith. Hebrews 11:30. Captured by faith. Fourthly, Jericho was also captured by works. The Israelites did not receive that which God would give them the moment they heard His word. No. They had not received it the moment they believed His word. The walls fell down and they captured the city after their faith prompted them to follow the instructions that God had given them. Note how the inspired writer specifies this fact. Hebrews 11:30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had encompassed the city 7 days. And by the way, archaeologists now have discovered years ago, that when the walls fell down, there were two walls, by the way. Jericho sitting on a hill. The walls fell outward because the Bible says there in the book of Joshua that each man walked up behind the other into the city. Well, they walked up on the rubble, right on into the city to capture it. Again, let me repeat this statement. The Israelites did not receive that which God would give them, the city of Jericho, the moment they heard the word. They did not receive it the moment they believed the word. The walls fell down and they captured the city when? After their faith prompted them to take action, to instruct them that the instructions of God was to do this, this, and this. And when they took action, the walls came tumbling down. Six more very simple points that I think will kind of bring this all together. Now, this story provides us an illustration of how grace, faith, and works combine to do what? To bring us to salvation. Point number one out of the six. Just as Israel could not capture Jericho by her own strength, we cannot save ourselves by our own strength, can we? No, we cannot. We must have what? Divine providence, which, thanks be to the Heavenly Father, is given to us, of course, through His Son, Romans 5, 1 and 2. I think I've got this up here. Okay. Yeah, I think that's what we just went through. Strength captured by grace and so forth. Now, number four. Now, here are the six conclusions. This is what I've just said. I'll put it on the screen here for you. Let's go to number two now. In number two, just as Jericho was given to Israel by God's grace, we are given salvation by God's grace. There in Ephesians 2, 4 and 5. When they completed their obedience to the commands of the Lord, the Israelites could not and did not boast of what they had done. Likewise, when we ourselves obey the commands of the Lord and are saved, we cannot and must not boast of what we have done. That's not to be done. Thirdly, just as Israel had to trust the Lord in order to capture Jericho, we must believe the Lord in order to be saved. Hebrews 11 and Mark 16, we've already seen. We must believe the Lord in order to be saved. Number four, just as Israel had to obey the Lord's commands in order to overthrow Jericho, we must also obey the Lord's commands to receive the forgiveness of sins. Hebrews 5, Acts 2, 38. We must believe, we must obey God's commands to receive the forgiveness of sins. Note number five. Every action that Israel took in response to the commands of God was an act of faith, relying upon the Lord to give them the city. Likewise, every action we take in response to the Lord's to the commands of God is an act of faith, relying upon the Lord to save us. To save us. And number six, very obvious, we do not earn or merit our salvation any more than the Israelites earned Jericho. Faith, grace, and works. Now, we have to understand grace is universal. Salvation is not universal. Now, despite the fact that there is a lot of talk about grace and grace alone that we continue to hear in this world, that we've heard for centuries, Paul does not use that type of terminology. He doesn't use this at all. Ephesians chapter 2. Verses, see if I have it there. No, that's the end of it. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. This is what the Bible says. By grace, you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not because of works, lest any man should boast. We know that there's a great deal of difference between faith. And by the way, you remember Martin Luther was dealing with this when he, in Romans 3:28, when he wrote only, O-N-L-Y, between the lines in his Bible, or faith only. You know, I live by bread, but I do not want to live by bread alone. The same type of difference is to be seen in the case, I believe, of grace and grace alone. So when people talk about grace alone, they have introduced a whole new concept into the discussion. And they're not understanding, not accepting, not wanting to believe what the Bible tells us about grace, about faith, and about works. So I believe that this Bible example here of Jericho, they had to do all three. All three. All of those six conclusions that we stated, they could not capture Jericho in their own strength, and we cannot be saved by our own strength. We read the Bible, we accept what is there by faith, we do what God commands us, and He supplies the rest. We know that Jericho, again, was given to Israel by God's grace, as we are given salvation by God's grace. Salvation is found only through Jesus Christ. And when they completed their obedience, when they completed those commands of the Lord like we would, the Israelites could not, did not boast of what they'd done, because we cannot boast of what we've done. It is all of God. Without God, we're nothing. We are nothing. I often think, whether you go to whatever mission field you may go to, whether it be Russia, Cuba, Guyana, anywhere in this world, these people are under a lot more hardships than we are in this world. But when you visit these places and you take away the Bible, what happens? Everything goes downhill. The Christians in Cuba, the Christians in Ghana, the Christians in Ukraine, the Christians in Russia believe what we believe, obey what we obey, listen to the Lord, read the same words of the Bible in their language, and they act upon that. When we were in Cuba just last month, this congregation, remember, gave over $10,000 for Bibles to Cuba. Those Bibles could not be printed in Cuba, because Cuba has no means to print it, and they don't have enough paper, quality paper, to print it. So they had to be printed in Brazil. They had to be printed and then shipped to Havana, and then shipped to Matanzas, where they were distributed from there. Tony Fernandez, a preacher, 30 years next year, will be there. His father began the congregation back in the 30s. So they printed them. We passed some of them out, and we'll show you those pictures. That day, there were five baptisms, and one baptism, number six, was out in the province that day. They believed what you and I believed. They acted on what we acted upon. Faith, grace, and works, balance, working together for the salvation of mankind. And when we had 250-plus Bibles sitting on a table after the worship service, they rushed the table. You could have had $1 million laying up there. But they rushed the table because they needed a Bible. And they love their Bible, and they love the Lord, and they're practicing New Testament Christianity this very hour, But you take all of that away, and what do they have? Have no hope. Take our Bibles away, we can still reproduce it by our minds. But do we love the Lord enough to study and to research and to do what we need to do to please God? Are there any questions or comments? I'm ending a little early today, but that'll be time for fellowship, I guess. Any comments or at all? You're welcome to this PowerPoint. Let's look at the balance between grace, faith, and of course works. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for showing us the balance that we can see between faith, grace, and works. So much more could be said. It has been distorted so badly over the years, and even today. But we know what we have to do. We read the simple Word of God. We stay with the Word. We don't listen to what man says. Man makes mistakes. We listen to sermons. We listen to Bible class teachers. We listen to other lectureships and other individuals, men and women. But investigate what they say. Look at our Bibles. Let's be better students of the Word. We're going to be judged by this eternal truth. Let's show people we're not under the Old Testament. Let's show people this grace alone and grace only thing is bogus. It's not true at all. Thank you, Father, for the greatest sacrifice of all, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for the Bible. Help us, Father, to continue to uplift and encourage one another. And thank you, Father, for all of our visitors. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, at this point, you're dismissed and you